Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Okay, well, we are back. You made it. So glory to God. We'll continue on with, I like my title up there. I just realized that it's not there. I'll have to look it up. No, I'm just joking. What did you call me? What did you call me? I mean, it's kind of how I was saying it, but it's kind of, in some ways, it was more like, now that you know, as we're getting into it, it's more like when the Lord said something, you're like, what did you call me? I mean, a lot of people, that's more how we are in the church, is it's kind of like, what did you call me? You get a little bit more insecure. You don't quite got that confidence that I guess I was saying in the beginning, because people say those things like, aren't you a banker? No. Aren't you a, whatever are you? But you're a Christian. You're a believer, and there is a calling upon your life, a power, a destiny, a purpose, an anointing that is there for you while you're here. And that's what the Lord has us here. And our main text is Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. There is no way that we can be called a Christian and call him a Lord without stating that we're serving somebody. Do you understand? Do you know what I mean? Just the very word Lord means that you're bowing, you're placing him in a place over you, you're giving him precedence, and you're saying, Lord. So just that sheer acknowledgement means that you're serving somebody. And so we'll do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Draw out insight and revelation from the Scriptures. Show us what you have. Prick our hearts. Lead us. May we continue to walk on this journey with you into a place of blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you have our best in mind. We thank you that you have pruned and cut and purposed us to better things. We know the plans that you have for us, Lord, and they are good and not for evil. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us. Lord, I give my tongue and I give my ability to you tonight. Use me. I'm yielded to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so let's look at some of the review of what we had last week. A couple of the points that I wanted to make. I'm going to do this. This is just kind of how the Lord shows me on teaching. If you're going to do something, you're going to do it again and again, you might as well be redundant, because how many people learn their ABCs in one shot? Oh, so y'all like me. Anyway, 6 months later, we still singing that song. Yeah, I mean, but it ain't always for learning at that point. But every believer, every single one of us is called and appointed by God. You were called. What it says that it is his will that none should perish. None. So that means you were called. His Spirit is going across this nation, across this earth, and it's speaking to the hearts of people, sometimes through nature itself. And it speaks, and it calls, and it stirs within the heart of a man, and it's calling to them to be a believer, to believe on him. And so we see that God called us, and he appointed us, and it was God alone, not a man, that told you that you should be saved. Realize that. If you were sent to the altar, you have to do it in here, not because of who was out there. If somebody, just made you get saved, I mean, I, I, I jokingly say that because in a way, I think it's March 16th, 1984 is what I think it says in the front of one of my Bibles, was this date of my, well, of what I was told that I was saved. You'll understand the story. I'm in the back seat. I have two sisters. We're driving to a friend's house, 84. I was born in 75. That's 9 years old. There we go. Had to get there. Good fighting age for a young man. Anyway, so that's what you do with your siblings. I'm in the back seat. We're arguing. We're touching. We're crossing lines. We're doing all those things, you know, that you're supposed to do. I have no idea what the problem was. But it perturbed my mother to the point of slamming on the brakes. Pop the watch. Look at that. Glory to God. Slamming on the brakes, skidding to the side of the road, and whipping around, which anybody caught that? Anybody of that generation where you got the back hand from a parent? Anybody? I mean, I think the younger generation hasn't experienced the back hand of a real parent. Anyway, that I had busted lips and bloody noses many a time, and my mother is only 4'11". So I'm just telling you the truth here. I still remember it too. It was a blue interior Dodge Aspen station wagon with the paneled sides of the wood. Come on! There you go! I'm telling you what this vehicle was. How many of you could relate to that one? There we go. Anyway, good Lord. So she hits those skids, stops on, and she whips around into the back, and she just, and now this ain't Jesus, okay? I'm just telling you, but this is what it was. She said, "Jesus comes right now, where are you gonna go?" This boy burning. I mean, I knew it. Hell was there. It was, I mean, she preached it hot. And I mean, we were going to hell all the time. As kid, as I told people, I said, I was scared to death of the rapture in hell, but I had no fear of the Lord when I was younger. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's why we're supposed to grow in the fear and the reverential honor of God. That will keep you from wandering. Fear of hell will not keep you from wandering. Fear of the rapture will not keep you from wandering, but fear of the Lord will hold you true. And so anyway, we were scared to death, spitless, whatever you want to say. And so she's pointing at us, and we knew we were done because, see, I was raised in that culture where if you sinned, you were going to hell. There was no thing as grace. There was no thing as mercy. There was heaven and hell, and if you sinned, you're gone. You missed the mark, you're done. I mean, that's why the rapture scared the bejesus out of me, and we watched movies every year. So we got saved for at least 15 straight years, 4 times a year. I mean, because you had camp, you had all those movies, and you had the evangelist come through, and then you there was, and then there's a kids' crusade, and they just, I mean, you could be guilted to that altar, and you got saved a lot. I probably got saved 62 times in my life, and one of them got wrote in my Bible. And it was in, like, March 16th, 1984. And so, anyway, and this happens to be that day. So she prays with us because she goes, "Well, you want to go to heaven?" "Yeah, I thought I was, but I'm not. I believe in God, but I sinned. I shouldn't have poked her." Anyway, oh, glory to God. Anyway, and so that's how it was. We pray. We go home. And all three of us kids, me and my sisters, have the same date in our Bibles. And in my mother's handwriting, and I can bring it to anybody if they want to. Actually, the New Believers class got to see that Bible, and they've seen that. It has made it here when we taught that. And that's the date that's in there. And so that was the documented date of salvation was I'll still remember that road. I can show you where at on that street. There's a little turn off right past the South Pond in Laurel when you go underneath the underpass. On the left, it used to be Bill and Margo Banks' house back there. You take that first turn, and man, right about 50 yards, you better lock them up because that was the point of salvation. And so we realize, though, but God is the one that calls us. The Holy Spirit pulls on our heart. Man does not make you get saved. Like I said, that's wrote in my Bible. I believed on the Lord. I believed on Jesus. He was my Lord and Savior. I was not raised in a place so that understood righteousness, did not understand how you can, how there is a time where you can fall out of fellowship with somebody, but you're not out of relationship. Example, I don't know why we're here, but we're going down it. An example is when somebody has your name in your family, that does not automatically mean that they're in fellowship with you, but they are in relationship with you. Okay? There are times when people in their Christian walk are out of fellowship with God, but they are not out of relationship with God. They did not call Him, no, they did not change the name, they did not assign themselves to a new father, they didn't do those things, but they have not stayed in relationship as far as fellowship with Him. Sorry, fellowship with Him. And fellowship is a place of intimacy. Fellowship is where you desire to be. Fellowship is an exchange of ideas. Fellowship is all the stuff that you want with the Father. That's fellowship. Which, if we, I guess we're going to think about righteousness, that's the last one where we're talking about worship. But it always comes from knowing your Father. So, anyway, every believer is called and appointed by God and God alone to a place in the body. They are members of a church, members of the body of Christ. When I use the word church there, I mean Jesus is the head, we are the church, we are the body of Christ. Okay, the same anointing that is upon a leader is placed upon the helps ministers. We saw that when Moses, we were looking at that, and when the 70 were appointed, it says that they took the same, God said, I'll take the same spirit that is upon Moses, and I'll place it upon them, and they'll be like spirit, that they'll have the same, I want the same word there. Anybody remember where it was? I can tell you where it was. Moses was in Numbers 11:10. And it's in verse 17. I want to say it the exact way that the Word of God says it. I don't like adding to it or changing it. I really like it the way God said it, and I'm going to stick with it. Numbers 11, verse 17. Then I'll come down and talk with you there. This is the Lord talking. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. The same spirit will dwell upon you. And so that comes from the minister, from the helps, from the top, and it comes down, and it's the same spirit. So there is an anointing that comes in helps ministry. Helps ministry is a supernatural gifting placed in the church. We saw that from its context when we're reading it. I would also add that on that same anointing, I guess, in John 14:12, it is Jesus talking to us as disciples, and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. We are his disciples. We are believers, and so we have works that we can do. And like we were talking about the example of a waiter or a waitress, is there anything that they do when they're serving you that you cannot do yourself? Can you get yourself a glass of water or a drink? Can you eat? Can you, I mean, do you have to have it taken back and warmed in the microwave or whatever, you know? You can do all those things, but there is a reward for their service. And so the word helps also means to hold up or to aid. Helps ministers vision, a helps minister's vision will hold up or aid the vision of the church God has placed them in. If it does not, one of you must go. I know that's a fun one for churches to hear, but if you're not going to step in line, if the Lord called you there, then you have to step in line. If you didn't, if the Lord didn't call you there, go find where you're supposed to step in line. But the vision that's there has to go, or it will stay together. It is cohesive. He's unified on many fronts. God does not call the qualified, But God looks at the heart and qualifies the called. And so a helps minister does not do anything a leader cannot do, but they will receive a reward for doing it. And so those are just some of the points that we took from last week. And if I was trying to drill anything home, I hope that I did that last week when we did that. Now we'll start looking at where we left off. I love how the Lord does it. You wouldn't believe it unless you were there. My wife kind of was there, so she can believe it. It's amazing. I'll be studying along. I'll be writing these things out. And then all of a sudden, the anointing lifts like that. I mean, I'm talking just gone. And I'm like, what? Well, Lord, I'm scared to death. I'm not going to have enough to say. So I'm going to... I got more notes here. I got my stuff. I'm gonna keep. Sure enough, though, I'm telling you, the Lord ran it out last, and He's been doing this more and more. And this is why, because He says that He will value my time if I value His time. If we give it to Him, if we give Him those minutes, those moments, those whatevers, He's giving it back. And I'm telling you, I couldn't have planned that last week any better than what He did. That was amazing. We ended with the desire of every one of us, whether a helps ministry or not, is to walk in at the last day and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's where we walked. That's where we ended. I mean, we were talking about all these different things, and then we ended. So what is the primary characteristic of a helps minister? That's where we're going to go in right now. The primary characteristics of a helps minister. We find out that there's one word right there. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. This is the number one thing. Actually, this is who we all should be. Because God is faithful. If you're faithful in your finances, there'll be a blessing. If you're faithful in your marriage, there'll be a blessing. If you're faithful as a parent, there'll be a blessing. If you're faithful in your job, there'll be a blessing. If you're faithful in your church, there'll be a blessing. If you're faithful anywhere, anytime, all the time, there will be a blessing. That's what He does. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And faithfulness is diligence, and diligence is faithfulness. And if you'll just keep pressing, He keeps rewarding every time. And so let's look now at 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2, we'll start off with a story that Mark started us on a while ago, and I don't know how he got into my notes when he preached that Wednesday night, but he did, so glory to God. But you know what? There is one thing about faithfulness. Faithfulness is not a moment. Faithfulness is only proven when one thing passes. Time. The only way to measure faithfulness. Are you faithful to your diet? Are you faithful? I mean, if you want to go down the list again, are you faithful in your finances? Are you faithful in your marriage? Are you faithful as a parent? Are you faithful in your job? Do you see this? Everybody can be for a day, right? How many, anybody been around? I mean, I'm an employer. So I employ people. That's what an employer does, if you didn't know. I know, deep thoughts. Anyway, everybody will come in with the right verbiage, but what's the one thing that really matters? Yeah. So, well, they were good for the how was the first day? First day was pretty good. How's the second day? Third day, fourth day, fifth week, month. Two months? Wish I didn't hire them 2 months ago. No, faithfulness only comes about over time. That's the one thing. So let's look here, though, at 2 Kings 2. We're going to start in verse 1. This is about Elijah and Elisha. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know, but keep silent." Anybody been in the place where your leader is going to leave you? Anybody had a job close up or a marriage or whatever? I don't care what you want to put it. You start looking at any relationship or anything. Start looking at leadership roles in your life when you've been underneath somebody, and they may have, some people may think that their father walked out on them or their mother. There are times when they're going to leave you. He knew that this was going to happen in this regard. And he says, "Yes, I know, keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know, keep silent." Are these people true and right? Every one of them are right. And does he agree with them? "Yes, I know." That means yes, I know. And so he tells them, but is this changing his perspective? Is this changing what he's doing? Is he faithful? He's committed to the end. Some people have walked through marriages where they lost a spouse, or they walk through relationships with children and parents where they lost somebody and they feel like they walked out. Are you still going to be faithful to them even when you know it looks like the end is here? We're believers, people. That means we keep on believing at all times. Doesn't matter what it looks like. We'll keep going. Then Elijah said to him, this is verse 6, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Now, we've already been talking about Moses. We know what a spirit is upon a leader. He knows what he's after. He knew what he was doing. He did not relent. And this conversation would not have happened the first times that he was sent back. This conversation is due to faithfulness. And he said to them, verse 10. So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." That requires awareness. This isn't just going to happen. This isn't the ripe apples off the tree type thing. This ain't just going to fall on him. He still has to earn this. If you want to use the word earn. I would like to say that if he was diligent, he would reap a reward. If he was faithful, he was going to get it. Verse 11, then it happened that they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, or Elijah went up in the whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and tore them into two pieces. That's why the mantle went back down. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, he did get his clothes tore. That was a different thought that I had. I don't think that was the Lord. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Well, what can we learn from that? There's a bazillion things. Marks was an awesome night on all that stuff, but we're not going there. There's three things that I'm pulling out of this story. We see that Elisha served Elijah for a number of years. Every time we deal with faithfulness, for some reason, you usually find out that faith was involved. I don't know if faith and faithfulness have anything in common. Oh yeah, maybe they do. But that's just what it is. It's you know, if you get full of faith, you would be called faithful. And so you will be that way. It's just who you are. And so we see that Elisha was faithful, and he served Elijah for a number of years. We see that he was a faithful man to the vision that the Lord had. Somehow, some way, he got it in his craw, if you want to say, that he could get a double portion. What made him? I don't even know where that is. I mean, you can go study it out, but what makes you say, "Been good, been fun, times two for me"? Some people would call you cocky. What if you were the young up-and-comer? What if you're the looked like the old has-been? I don't know how old Elisha was when he started his ministry, when he was called out of that field. I don't. He was old enough to have a field and stuff, but he was still working for Dad, but did burn that plow. The other thing, the third thing that we learned that he served for a number of years. Second was faithful to the man with the vision. And the third thing is he was eventually promoted. This may be the single biggest thing that scares most Christians out of ministry helps. They don't want any more promotion. Seriously. If I could just clean toilets for the rest of my life, I'm fine cleaning toilets. But don't you dare move me out anywhere else. It's a false humility because you're not allowing the gift that God put in you to show. It's pride. It's pride. God will promote you. Just let him. And as he promotes you, give him glory. Give him glory. You'll continue to step by step from glory to glory. You'll just keep walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord. That's just what he does. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Yeah, I mean, so if you just keep walking with him, where are you getting? Closer. Closer. It's that crazy thing about eternity. You don't realize that time's passing. You don't realize how far you went, and yet you may never get there, but you just keep walking closer to him. And every day, every moment is just a awestruck wonderment of what you're doing with God. God only promotes you when you're qualified, not when you're bored. That's just the truth. When you figured out that you could doing it the perfect way and you're the best at it, take a peek around. Bet you can improve it. I love that idea that they used to have. I can't remember the word. It was a Japanese term. Toyota had put it into play years ago back in the late 80s and early 90s when they came out with all the Accords and the Camrys, and they were running as the top dog of those engines. Those cars were, no, yeah, they're still running, exactly, they're still there. But what they used to do, everybody, you know, because they weren't braking, they didn't die, but what they did is they had a belief system in their plant. It's named after the guy that ran the plant, and I can't remember it's a name, I believe it starts with an O. Did you, or was it? Oh, okay. But there's a name, and it's for that gentleman. And what he did was, when you push something, you push it, you produce it, and then as soon as it looks perfect, you push it till it breaks, and you fix what breaks. And so they would heat those engines up, they would run them, and when something failed, that's what they would fix. And then they would give it going, and when they're burning it, and it's getting low on oil or whatever, and then that goes wrong, that's what they'd fix. And they pushed those things, and pushed those things, and pushed those things, and pushed those things, and they broke it, and they broke it, and they broke it, and they broke it, and then everybody said, that's the greatest car I ever bought. Still running. 300, 400, 500,000 miles on cars that everybody else is like, nope, nope, they're done. But they pushed. God will only promote you when you're qualified, not when you're bored. If you think you're bored, look around. Take a note. Because boredom usually means that you're about to become lazy. Mm-hmm. You're about to sit down. I'm done. That's all I'm going to do. I already conquered it. You're about to head into a place of rebellion against everything that you have. That's from Susan. She taught that like 20 years ago. Anyway. Yeah, you. I remember when you said it. That's so interesting. You may not even remember it, but you said it. You said boredom is rebellion because you're rebelling against the very circumstance that you have. And there's nothing in boredom that is bringing of life. It doesn't bring life. It brings death. Okay? So, there we go. Everybody's preaching from the audience again. Qualified means that you have exercised faith and patience because time passed. Now, here's another thing. Qualified means that promised blessing or reward is due. And God always pays his debts. He is very good at paying off what he has due to you. Let's look at Daniel 6. You don't even got to turn there. Daniel 6, verse 4. Daniel 6, verse 4. We're going to talk about Daniel for just a second. It's just one verse. It says, the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. So that means they don't like him and they're going to try. But they could find no charge or fault because he was really good at his job. Because he bought them off and bribed them. Because people liked him. Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. I bet you if he was bored with his job, we could have found some error or fault. We don't get to get bored in the church. We got to realize what we're siding with when we want to quit and give up. Why? I just don't feel like it anymore. I'm bored with this. I'm done with it. Yeah. No. This is where we get to do heart checks. I thought I loved the Lord and would do anything for him. Except that. That's too far. You want me to do this for years, Lord? You want me to vacuum this floor for years? You know, I've been doing it for this long. Do you see how these things are? Heart checks. We found that he, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption is how this verse looks, was to be found in him. No negligence or corruption. No error or fault. Faithfulness. Faithfulness leads to reward. Always does. It will put you in favor with God and man. Here's a couple proverbs, if you would, on faithfulness. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. This is wonderful. A faithful ambassador brings health. That word health, healing, also means that it brings tranquility, soothing, or remedy. Has anybody just wanted somebody to come up to you that you can trust? That's faithful. What kind of counsel do you want to receive? Right? Isn't that what we do? We look for faithfulness. You want faithfulness in your counsel. You want people that were faithful in a marriage, and that's where you get counsel. You want people that were faithful in their finances. You want these people that have proven themselves, and they're faithful. And that will soothe. It will relieve. It will remedy. It will help heal you. Proverbs 25:13 says, like the cold snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send it, for he refreshes the soul of his master. Refreshes means to bring back. Yeah, this one says refreshes. Just checking my versions. Anyway, refreshes the soul of a faithful messenger. Have you ever sent somebody to go do something? Okay, if you want to play. Have you ever sent your spouse to the store for something? And they came back with not what you sent them for? I'm the guilty party in this one. I'm not saying that it's that spouse. I'm saying it's probably more tables are turned. But they can refresh the soul. Oh, I know how to put myself in the right seat. I can send my boy to a store, and he don't come back with what he was sent for. a faithful messenger to those who send them. You know, if you're just relaying orders to people, we're in construction, so everything we have is about communication. If I don't relay the orders and it goes out with a faithful messenger and they twist it, everybody played that game Telephone, right? And if you didn't, it's a fun game, but whatever. But you start a story and it goes on through and it never comes out the same, does it? It's always twisted. But a faithful messenger, that's what we are. They will refresh and bring back the soul of their master. Ooh, love it. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessing. Will abound. Might, maybe, happenstance, could, no. Will abound with blessing. Blessings. That's plural. That's even better. Keep the S. Blessings. Anyway, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. The get rich quick thing usually doesn't work. But I know that if you stack it up little by little, it works. It works. I don't know who, I mean, there's these things called IRAs and 401ks and all that type of stuff, and they seem to be working for those people that have them. The people that don't have them don't think they're working. But is that weird or what? I mean, I don't even understand it. The one that took the time, and did you put all, when anybody put that money in it, did they put it all in at once? No. Yeah. Bit by bit, little by little, piece by piece, stack it in there. It's amazing. Let's look here at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We'll look at a couple things on faithfulness, and I will jump off of the subject because I'm just trying to make points on it. This is the primary point of a helps minister. Anybody that's helping, that's serving the Lord in that way, you just got to be a faithful Christian. Faithfulness is what we're called to. But Matthew 24, verse 45 says this: who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler? There's a lot stated already right there. We got faithful. We got wisdom, which means application of knowledge. Not just a know-it-all. Everybody knows a know-it-all. Here's the thing. This will free you a little bit. You know that you could have the best public accountant in the world, and he could be in bankruptcy because he has lots of knowledge, but he never applied it. You can have a fat, just gross, obese athletic trainer that knows exactly what to do for you, and they can help you, and they can get you to your goal, but they never walked in wisdom and applied it. Now, you automatically judge these people. You know, you can have a lawyer that's in legal problems all over the place. You know, But see, that's what I mean. You will judge them and you're like, you know what? They're not wise counsel. They know about counsel. I always told people, I said, I know how rockets get to the moon, that there's propulsion on the back and it blows out, but I can't build you a rocket that will go to the moon. I don't have the wisdom to build it, put it together. I have the knowledge or understanding about it. And so there's a lot of things here. But this is a faithful and wise. That means that they don't only know about it, but they've applied it and they've seen the fruits of it. This is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler. Why? Because he was proven in little, so now he's being proven in much. You give more responsibility to people that are there. That's why you don't hand the keys to a Ferrari to a, 16-year-old kid. If you do, we judge you. Sorry, that's just how it is. Yeah. I don't know. That'd be very rare. I don't know if anybody has a good story about handing this is a spectacular, a Raptor or a Mustang or something to some little kid and having them, tell you about it 40 years later when they're like, yeah, I had that car for all those years, waxed it, polished it, kept it. It was beautiful. And then I, sold it. No, usually it's wrecked. Does anybody have a story of those kids that got that wonderful thing? Or did they have to take it little by little and make that thing? Like I started off with the Mercury Lynx. Yeah, baby. That was a nice pumpkin orange car. And then my next car, after I rolled that car. Yeah, hey, where's Ella at? Oh, she's downstairs. She showed me her stamped little driver's license today. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, so did she get that today? Okay, two more days from here is when I rolled that car. Anyway, so I had stamped photo. I got some photos stamped on my little permit. And the third day that I had it, this is what it was. It used to be a tan Ford Escort, but when you roll that thing, they can't put the same body on it. And so your parents, which this is right, and this is godly, this was a good, I gave you a bad one about my parents. Here's the good one. The good one is when I had to dig in my pocket, I dug out $500, I bought a orange Mercury Lynx, and then I had to work with my father, who was an auto mechanic, and we had to move the engine from the Escort to the Lynx because Ford and Mercury don't even matter. Anyway, so we move all these things across. We even switched the seats because the seats were so bad in that orange car, and so the interior became the tan Ford Escort, and the exterior was an orange Mercury Lynx. But I had that car, and that car gave me life. After the stereo was stole out of it, and the car was stolen, I got it back. Because then it gave me time with God. And I love what that car did for me personally, because I prayed in that car, and I worshiped in that car, and I got close to my father in that car, and I never put a stereo back in that car after it was stolen. And so, left the speakers out, left stereo out, and that is what it was. Glory to God. But, so we have this faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. You will be promoted if you're faithful. You will be promoted. And so, and if you wanted to, you can even look over at the parable in 25 there. It talks about the parable of the talents. And that is talking about faithfulness of the 5 talents and 2 talents. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but that also looks at faithfulness. We must be faithful to where God has placed us, faithful to the vision he's provided for us. We have to be. And you know what? There are times in life and in anything when you get bored. I'm just saying your natural feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, your ideas will be on boredom. And you will have to not quit. Because only through diligence and faithfulness will we find ourselves walking out and gaining what is there. In James 1:5. There's where we're going. James 1:5. keep jumping past my spot, and I even have stickers that tell me where it's at. I know it's Hebrew, James, John, or Hebrew, James, there we go. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, not his specials, not anything, all. Anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. If we just believe the word, life is so easy. Life is so easy. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what we see here, though, is we always, and we do cue in on this, and Pastor Sean's been doing this, I don't know how long, talking about the duo, the doubt, the double, how it all comes in from that word, and it means of two. And we know that, how many masters can you serve? Oh yeah, that's right, one. Because you'll either hate one and love the other, but or despise one and hate that. It doesn't matter. You get one master. That's why you, when you get married, you leave and cleave, because usually there's two masters trying to talk. That's for somebody. Anyway, within Helps Ministry, when we see someone getting sidetracked by something other than the vision that was set before them, guess what they just developed? Double vision. So the Lord gives you a vision and a place to sink yourself into. Do you get to, I keep using the word bored, but that's what a lot of people do. In our culture, we are an entertainment culture. I mean, you do not have to do anything. Right now, every one of you could be almost on your phone playing a game or doing something right now if you were bored. If people are listening on a TV or internet, whatever, and all that stuff, whatever they're doing, they can have double, duo. They don't have to be focused. They don't got to be single-minded. They can do whatever they want. I'm just saying the truth. We have a culture, though, that's entertainment-driven, and it's all about me. We don't lean to others. We don't have a heart of service. We don't love like Christ. We aren't motivated all the time for somebody else. We have this whole, well, I've given enough. What about me? I need some of my time. We don't get to do it. I mean, that's just the truth. If we'll seek after the Lord, he'll honor us. Here we go. We must keep in mind that God called us. Who called us again? Okay. And he placed us as members. So who placed us? Okay, still making sure. And so, and he called us to a vision or to a church or to a body. And that is what we are to do. Life gets easy. But it's boring. Then you're just rebelling. We talked about all these things. When we started this up, Helps Ministry is for what? Mature believers. Sorry. So, I mean, if you don't like being told not to be bored, grow up. I run my own business. You know how many things I want to do? When I'm in there, I bet you most of it I don't want to do. It's dull. It's boring. But if I don't put my hand to it and become a good steward, I will never see the fruits of faithfulness showing up on the other side. But somebody's got to do it, so I just keep hiring people. No, sorry. Never mind. That was off. So we try not to, or we are not to try and fulfill another position. We're to be single-minded with purpose. Some of us have a tendency, and I'm just going to get a little bit into some people's grill on this. And you're warned. That was nice. I want to go help over with children's, but no, that worship team looks fun. No. I want to play. No, I want to sing. No. I'm just, maybe I'll just help with the men. No. I know where I'm going to go. I'm just going to across town to another church. But tick. Why? Because they never found themselves, and they don't want to be failed because they're dual-minded. When did they sit down, listen to what the Lord told them to do, and then just sat there and said, you know what? The Lord called me to it. And until he moves me out of it, I'm done. I'll tell you this. I'll just state it right here. The Lord called my wife and I to this ministry for one purpose. One purpose. We're to help Pastor Sean and Heidi. And that was it. So, if it's shoveling walks, we shovel walks. If it's cleaning churches, we clean churches. If it's teaching children's, we teach children. If it's cleaning commodes, we clean commodes. If it's singing on worship, we sing on worship. If it's preaching, it's preaching. If it's teaching kids, it's teaching kids. Whatever it is, I do not care. I was called for one thing right here. That's me. That's my calling. And so, as many of you know, I've been through the gauntlet. I've done transition, I've done offerings, I've done some speaking, I've done new believers classes, I've done ushers, I've done, and we're heading into altar care. I've got to do all these different roles. And you know what I do to them? I walk into them and I try and I push as hard as I can to maximize it to the best that I can while I'm there. And then you know what it is? I'll just be honest with you. It sometimes hurts a little bit when those things are plucked up and taken from you. And because why? Because I've given myself. I'll give you the blood, the sweat, the tears, the late nights. I'll give you whatever it is in those regards. And I will give myself to it. And then you just got to go over here and start something else. But you know what? For the vision of the church, for the vision of the people, for everything that's here for you, we do it. That's what we're called to do, as far as my wife and I. So, what's my role? Ask him. It's my role. You'll love it. Glory to God. We'll do it. I know... Ron and Jen, I swear, if you say something's broke, just don't say it too loud. Because, good night. They're fast. They're on it. And Rick's brought a whole world of wealth into things. And Josh back, faithfulness, though. We're going places, folks. There is a journey that we are on. Whew, there is a destiny and a vision that the Lord has for us. There is a calling. There is an anointing. And we are going forward into what the Lord has. And this is just the beginnings. This is Ned in the first reader. We be speaking all funny, because three letters is about as far as we get. But this is where we're going. We need to be single-minded and have a purpose. And so what has the Lord called you to? That's where I do want to, there are people that need to step down from things and there are people that need to step up in what they're in. That's the truth. What is your commitment? Where is your faithfulness? We must resist the temptation to do something different. Boredom is not a leading. Adversity is not a leading. But we had a run-in. Do I get a tattle? Do we get to do this? Should we? Crying out loud. I know. You'll forgive me. You're awesome. Oh, Lord have mercy. We're going to do this. Glory to God. Here we go. I still remember this. I got to be the usher. And we have this new family with, three kids at that time, huh? Did you have four at that time? Okay. And I understand. They don't know us. They don't know nothing. They kept all four of them with you at all times. All the time. I'm not picking on her. I'm just telling a story, folks. I love the woman now. No, I'm just joking. Oh! No. And the man. This goes together. This story goes together. Oh, our love walk has increased and we are growing. Anyway, I still remember this. I don't know which one. I mean, if you want to pick one of your kids, you don't want to. Oh, is that the one you don't want to care about right now? Okay. That's the one we're going to throw out here. Would make noise, whatever, during service in the back. And it wasn't that it was like, this kid's not throwing a fit. The kid's just playing with airplanes or cars or whatever. And he just going. Well, when the service was at that time probably this size, huh? Wouldn't you say? I don't know how many people we had back then. It could have been like this many people. And you got this kid in the, you know, six, seven rows back, and he's just happy. He's just a kid being a kid. This is what they do. This is life, okay? And we'd done it like, you know, one Sunday, two Sunday, and I'm like, oh, Lord. I know it's getting on the microphone. Everybody's hearing it. You got people starting to look and stuff. I'm like, I got it. I know what I got it. This is my story, so I'm telling it my bend, okay? Just telling you right now, just so you know. You can get it from her later. Anyway, and I'm like, I have to actually address this because I'm the head usher. I don't want to address this. This is a new family. They just showed up. Why would I go tell some lady with her kids? And what about her husband? Where? Why won't he? He's playing with the kid with the car. Going, and the kid's going, wee! You know, and you're like, what in the world is that man doing? Does he not know he's inciting half of this riot? And so, one Sunday, I go back, and I'm like, do you know that we have nursery and childcare? Because, you know, and I had to lay it out. I'm sorry, we have it. This is a service. We'd love, if you need to, you can put your kids in it. If you didn't want to, can you, you know, step out back? We had doors kind of like that. You could step out back and just, because it was being disruptive to the service. And I had to approach you. And then he committed to sound like 2 or 3 weeks later or something. Like, I'm like, I'm going to run them out of the church, Lord. I told them to keep their kids quiet. Get out. No, I mean, but that's some adversity. And if you don't know that woman, she's a spitfire. I mean, I find out more and more that I was tangling with the she-bear. Anyway, sorry about that. That's Josh's she-bear. He got it down. So anyway, glory. Oh, I'm going everywhere. Get back to my notes. But adversity is not a leading. It's not. If you're in, you know what, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you do. You may think that in childcare or nursery toddlers that you are loving them better than their parents do because you've judged their parents, some people. Some of these homes, some of the kids that they come from. But that kid, if they say something, that parent will turn on you. What are you going to do when adversity comes? You going to remain faithful to that? Or you know what? I'm out of here. I'm done. I don't want to deal with their parents no more. I don't want to deal with their whatever anymore. You can walk away. I'm an usher. I don't want to deal with this. This world's getting crazy. They're going to start bringing guns and stuff to forget it. I am not going to be responsible for that. What if they walk past on my guard? Security issues. Okay, security issues. I didn't get enough salt on the ice, and she can fall down, break her ankle when she walking out there from that, you know. What? I'm going to break my ankle. Well, praise the Lord. I got hinds feet. That's like a goat, baby. I can climb anything. I'm just telling you what the word says about me. I can walk on icy, icy parking lots. Adversity is not a leading. Remember, we are soil. According to Mark 4, if you want to look at Mark 4, well, you don't even have to. Mark 4 is the parable of the soil. Holy smokes. What time are we over? No, I got another half hour. I'm done. You guys are, we'll get there next week. We'll get there next week. Glory to God. We'll get through this. Mark 4 is the parable of the soils. We have here a description of things that cause failure in a Christian's life. Okay? Faithfulness will beat these things every time. Satan will take away the word. That's the wayward on the wayside Christians. He came and stole the word that they received. Satan takes away the word. Tribulations or persecutions arise for the word's sake. That was a stony ground. Realize these things are going to come if you're in ministry. There are going to be tribulations, persecutions. Satan is going to come and try and steal the word right out of your heart. Why are you doing this? You've been there for years. Doesn't that fruit look good? Take a bite, baby. That's what he's doing. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things were the ones sown among thorns. How often do people walk out because the cares of this world? Well, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Deceitfulness of riches. We've lost. I'm going to be honest with you. We've lost many families that we believed with them, stood beside them, watched them get promotions. And we're talking promotions of like $20,000 in a year to the one spouse. We've watched this happen. We've got to coach and walk. We've seen people come together. You're believing with them. You're discipling them. And as soon as they receive that, we've never seen them again. We've watched the deceitfulness of riches come across people. It robs them. That was even people that were helping within our church. That was helps ministers. The desire for other things. Grass is greener on the other side. Faithfulness, though, will keep you where you're at. These are not leadings. All those things are not leadings. These stop the word from being fruitful. These are poor excuses for leaving the call of God. To remove oneself from the blessing he has in store for us. I remind you, faithfulness takes time. That means in order to see the vision come to pass, you must remain committed. Faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we have opportunities and bodies and hands and willing hearts that we can give into the kingdom. And Lord, we don't just do it today out of emotion. We do it again and again and again because we believe in you. We don't do it just for the reward, but Lord, we do look forward with great anticipation to the reward. We thank you, Father, for hearts of a servant and hands of doers, and we are not hearers only. Father, go with the people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.